Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Stoffa.
Our next guest was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2002 as a member of the Ramones and also received a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 2011. His book, Punk Rock Blitzkrieg, My Life as a Ramone, is now available in paperback. It is quite a pleasure to say hello to Marky Ramone. Marky, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much for that introduction. Appreciate it.
It is terrific to have you on. Now, the Ramones, Spin Magazine ranked the band the number two greatest band of all time behind some band called the Beatles.
Amazing.
Tell us what it feels like to be connected with a group that has made such a footprint in the music industry.
We were very grateful. I mean, do I agree with that? I mean, there's so many great bands. When I saw that, I thought they made a mistake, but, you know, the Ramones were a very influential band, so I guess that's how they look at it. I don't think they looked at our sales compared to a lot of other groups, but what I think they went for was how we influenced a certain genre of music, and then it spread out to so many areas. But there are other great bands too that I could feel would be number two also. Mm-hmm.
You played the drums for the Ramones for 15 years, but before the Ramones, you played with a metal band called Dust as Mark
yes.
Bell. Okay, so how did you make the transition between the two bands?
Well, I was in high school, and there was no heavy metal in America, and this was we were kids, so we decided to form a trio and have some metal in America. So we were one of the, I think, top five bands who played that genre music. And then I started hanging out in New York, and I ended up playing with the Ramones. Tommy left,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted me in the group and suggested I join, and they all agreed, and that's how simple it was.
Now, this book, and it's a fascinating read, it talks about a side of rock
Thank
and roll
you.
That everybody knows exists, but few are really willing to talk about to the degree that you do. Why do you feel it was so important to tell that side of the story?
Well, it's life. A bunch of brothers together, a family, mm-hmm. a business, and things happen that you don't expect, and it's real life. It's not candy-coated, isn't sugar-coated, and that's the result in what I wrote in that book. But if somebody can learn from it when they read it, that's a good thing, too, of how the music business is.
And it's amazing the stories that you tell. I mean, some of them, that Joey was the lead singer, very introverted. He had OCD.
Yeah.
He stranded you guys at restaurants, hotels, airports all over the world. Johnny,
yes.
the guitarist, the band's leader, he spouts off right-wing politics all the time. You guys are all over the place. DD, you describe as the eccentric genius of the band, taking four bubble baths a day. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of just performing your music, this is a full working day just being with these guys.
Oh, yeah, it certainly was. I had my skeletons in the closet, too, and it's written in the book, but we were all completely unique individuals. Maybe that's what made it run so well. Joey also was a left-wing liberal, so that kind of clashed with Johnny's right-wing politics. But, that's what made it more interesting. So everyone's different. So we went in a van for 15 years. They were together for 21 years. And we all had our assigned rows in our van. And that's how we toured. So you get to know somebody pretty well driving 5-6 hours a day to get to the next show. So that's all in the book.
Especially in a van. I mean, most bands are in a bus. You guys are in a van. All of a sudden, you're driving along. You see a minivan. You think it's the Johnsons from down the street. Oh, no, Mom, it's the Ramones. That's pretty cool.
Very close together all the time.
Yeah, we didn't believe in that rock star stuff. We just wanted to get to where we had to go. So we had a van. We didn't believe in paying for a tour bus and a driver $7,000 a week at the time.
Wow.
And we just rented a trusty Ford Econoline 15-passenger van.
Good for you.
Wow.
And that was it.
So would you say that your music benefited from like the wild lifestyle, or did it hurt the music at all?
No, I think it all went together. In CBGBs, you got to remember we were in our early 20s and we were just like everyone else, having a good time partying and living in New York, fast-paced society. Everything's open 24 hours a day, and you put that in your lyrical content and the energy that you have on the stage.
You know, it's funny that you brought up CBGBs, because when you Google CBGBs, the Ramones, the first band that comes up as, like, you know, what they're known for, are bands that are known for playing there. And you know, CBGBs is now, you know, obviously closed, but opening up as a restaurant in Newark Airport.
Really?
It kind of like breaks my heart a little bit.
I know.
That's not the original CBGBs.
I just got to say one thing.
What?
Hopefully at the airport, they don't serve the same chili they served at the original CBGBs. It'll close down in 1 month, maybe a week. But, you know, we live in a capitalistic society, and if the owner who bought the rights for the name wants to put a restaurant in there, that's his choice.
It's so weird, though.
Yeah.
You know, you're waiting for your flight, so you go to CBGB's. The world just changing in ways we don't need it to change.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it is. You can call it progress, or you could say, hey, why, you know?
But as your heart breaks.
You know, it's funny. It's just funny visually to see CBGB's next to a Popeyes or a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
That's exactly right.
100% I agree with you.
Or a Brookstone. You go in to buy your prescription pillow, and then you go to CBGB's afterwards.
Exactly.
You are very honest, very open all throughout this book. Now, you talk about when you left the band to into recovery. You mentioned how difficult that was. Why was it so difficult?
Well, I was asked to leave because I was a periodic drinker. I wasn't into, I never smoked cigarettes, never was into hard drugs. Mm-hmm. I oppose that. And I was drinking a little too much beer, and I decided that it was the right thing to do. So it's all in the book what I had to go through with what my guy at AA and told me what he suggested what I should do. So I got I went into physical labor jobs like mixing cement in construction, demolition work when New York was going through the condominium craze, and then I put up wrought iron gates with acetylene torches in crack houses in the in the drug areas, and I was a bike messenger 10 hours a day, so that kept me physically fit. I could have stayed at home, did nothing,
right,
and just stayed with myself.
You expanded your own horizons in a lot of different ways, and you opened yourself up.
Yeah, I stayed fit. That was the most important thing, because now they're saying drummers are athletes. I play for an hour and 20 minutes a day nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess depending how hard you play and fast you play, you know, I could see being called an athlete. But that's what I had to do to maintain my physical endurance.
All right, Marky, I'm just going to say this to you, because you carry on the spirit of this band. Joey, Dee, Tommy, they're gone. You carry on the spirit of the band. I want you talk to me about the most important thing that you want the Ramones to be remembered for.
Oh, the music. Definitely the fun we brought to the music, the energy, the lyrical content, and just the fun. That's really what we wanted our audience to have. You know, we weren't a political band, but we were political individually, but we never conveyed that to anybody on stage. You know. But that's really what I would like the Ramones to be remembered about.
And if you really want to learn more about the Ramones, the lifestyle, the punk rock age, how it began, and it really takes you back to that time, and it gives you a true understanding as to what it was like to be involved in it. And it is just a wonderful read. Again, the book is called Punk Rock Blitzkrieg, My Life as a Ramone. It's at Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books. Definitely check it out. Marky Ramone, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
You have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
All right, take care.
Bye.
He's one of the most sane rockers we've ever spoken to because he seems to have a real perspective on what he's gone through.
Well, he's been there and done that and recovered and kind of been, you know.
He's the only one left over to talk about it.
Through the bad times, and now he's reminiscing on what it was.
He has a current band, Marky Ramone's Blitzkrieg, and they tour and then they make music and everything. But it's a story that a lot of people, that even if you weren't around at that time, if that's not your type of music, if you're into just the whole music scene, I read the book. It's fascinating because the human body wasn't designed to take some of these things that these guys put themselves through.
That's
and the fact that he's the only one left kind of says maybe it's not designed that way.
Well,
but it's just it's not the lifestyle for me. Let me just say that.
You're not a rocker, Ed.
No, I'm not. No.
You're not a rocker.
And I don't pretend to be one. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Stoppa.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
Weekend. Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Fred bumped Linda's car from behind, but before Linda could say anything, he offered her $2,000 if she would not report the accident. They exchanged information, and on the $2,000 check, Fred wrote, "Cashing check releases Ryder of all liability." Linda cashed the check, but was later diagnosed with whiplash. She needed 3 months of extensive therapy. Can Linda recover her losses from the driver who caused them? The final verdict after this.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
By cashing the check, Linda accepted the conditions which released the driver who hit her of any further liability. Linda made a costly mistake, and that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Do you think that your dreams are private? No way. There are researchers out there who do nothing but study what people dream about. So here's how your dreams stack up against the average John or Jane Doe in the population, along with the science of it. You get a brand new dream every 90 minutes. That's about 5 or 6 new dreams a night. And they're probably recurring themes like falling, being chased, failing at some simple task. Most of our dreams find us in a situation where we have little control, you know, like falling.
Have you any dreams you like yourself?
What's the cheap psychological trick? Take control. Before you get out of bed, when you're in that period between fully asleep and awake, mentally rewrite the dream with a happy ending. As a result, you'll find yourself more confident during the waking hours. Got a question? Send it to me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.